Welcome to Making the Difference, a series of programmes from Mary Mackle College about students and staff, past and present, who have made a difference in some way to the world today. Each episode acts as recognition to a different person for the great and often unrewarded work that they do in their day-to-day lives. Let's hear from today's candidate.
My name is Rosemary Day. I'm the head of the Department of Media and Communication Studies in Mary Immaculate College, the University of Limerick. And I'm a Dubliner by birth. I work in Limerick and I spent quite a bit of my time living in County Clare. I suffer from not bilocation, but maybe trilocation. I'm very, very happy to be working in Mary Eye, as we call it, in Limerick, which is a city that has come in for an awful lot of stick in the past, but I found it a wonderful place to live and work. I've made great friendships and I've had a very rewarding career to date here. I suppose my route to Mary Eye and to Limerick is straightforward enough. I came from a very privileged background, looking back on it now, in South County Dublin. I suppose, like most kids, I didn't realise it at the time, but I got a great education and went to a great school. Mount Anville was the name of it, for girls, and they gave us a great attitude and perspective on life, more than just teaching us subject matter. They gave us, or imbued us, with the confidence that we could be the equal of anyone, and that was very important, because I did my Leaving Cert in 1978 at a time when many careers were barred to women. I remember my mother, who was a stay-at-home mother of six, bringing us out to march for equal pay in 1973. I was only a kid. And I remember even then thinking how unjust it was that a woman who was doing the same work as a man would be paid less just that because she was a female. I think the school I went to gave us not just a good education and a good confidence, but it also imbued us with a sense of the importance of human rights. And that's something that I see in myself and in my old school friends, that we're still, many of us, fighting the good cause, if you like. And I sometimes talk about it in a deprecating way as being a real 1970s feeling, but I think that the world is a better place if there are more people who look out for each other. And that's one of the things I've really enjoyed about working in Mary Immaculate College, because the ethos of the college is very much a caring one. And whether that comes from its Christian orientation, or whether it comes from the fact that the college is such a small college, or the fact that the college originally was founded as a college of education to train teachers, particularly those looking after smaller children, I don't know. But it certainly has resulted in a very pleasant place to work, one where the students, I think, come first, and one where we as a staff work in a collegial manner and work to do more than just impart knowledge, but and very importantly, ways of learning, but also to have a keen sense of social justice, I think. At the time, I was still very interested in the Irish language and in heritage and history. And I went to UCD and I took Irish and history. And I was very involved in student politics and in drama. And I was auditor of the Drama Society and of the Irish Society. And I was forever trying to save the planet in different forms. And I remember thinking back in the late 1970s, early 80s, that the Irish language would be dead within 30 years if we didn't do something about it. And I'm very pleased to see that I was completely wrong, and that the Irish language is in a healthier position now than it was then, and that, I suppose, has helped me not to become too depressed or too alarmed. I suppose, without trying to sound patronising, when you're 18 or 20, 30 years seems like a very, very long time away. Now that I'm at the other end of that 30 years, I can see that that's not the case, and that life moves much more slowly. The world moves and changes much more slowly than we tend to think if we just look at what we see on television or on newsreels or on news programmes, I should say, that's showing my age. Things change much more slowly, so that evolution can be dynamic, but it takes time, and I think that's a very hopeful thing. There's time to get things right as you're changing things. I don't know what I expected when I came. In fact, I do. I thought I was coming to work in UL, and I was surprised I turned up for the interview over in the Plassey campus. Luckily, I had come the day before so that I'd get a sense of the place, so I did get a chance to walk around, and I met a few different people who filled in a lot of the blanks that I had. I knew what I wanted to teach and how I wanted to teach, but I wasn't sure what my colleagues would be like or what the department was like, and in particular what the college was like. And as I said at the outset, it's been a very rewarding time for me. I'm here 16 years now, and I've watched the development of the careers of, say, that first cohort I had who graduated in 1998. I came in 1994, and many of them are in RTE. Some of them are well known, Micheál Lehane and Keith McCormack on the 6-1 News, Adrian Lydon from Primetime and the 6-1 News. Jackie Hurley on Sport, Cliona O'Leary, who's the deputy head of Sports Television, and there are many more who are more nameless because we don't see or hear them. They're in production in RTE, TV3, TG Cahir. We've a large number of graduates in. I don't think there's a local radio station or a regional station in the country where graduates of ours are not, so put that negatively, but they're in all of those stations. All of the local papers and most of the national papers, in fact all of the national papers have had graduates of ours at some point or another, not to mention those who've gone on to do film work, who've gone on to work in independent production companies and houses, some of them founding their own, and many who've gone abroad and worked in the media and are working in the media there, but also those who've taken slightly different career paths, for example working in PR and working in human resources, and it's just, I think it's a fantastic degree. Myself, back in 1978, if it had been on offer, and it wasn't, I would definitely have taken it. So I always had an interest in the media, which back in those days, it was very hard to pursue because of the unionisation of work and the scarcity of work. There were less media there. And back in the 1980s, there was only RTE, was the only legal channel. And it was almost impossible to break in, even as a part-timer, because of the way things were structured. And I can see the sense in it. You couldn't, if you had another job, you couldn't work as a stringer, so you had to be making your sole living from it. But if you couldn't make your sole living from it, I couldn't afford to give up my job, which was a teacher at the time, at second level. So I did a lot of work in a voluntary capacity. I did do occasional reports. I went to Australia for a year and I reported on Radio Na Gaeltachta about what Australia was like, because in pre-internet days and pre-Skype and that, people really didn't know. And I still meet people now 20 something years later who say, oh, tú Rosie Davey, you're a radio, I can just find Astral. So that's hilarious, I suppose, in a way. But when I returned to Dublin in 1988, the Broadcasting Act had just been passed, and this was the first opportunity for independent radio and television to come to Ireland. And so a group of friends met up. We were all Irish speakers. We had actually been in college together, and we were sort of in our late 20s and thinking about starting families, and were concerned that there was no Irish language media in Dublin, or certainly the only thing that existed was Radio Na Gaeltachta, which basically broadcast to the three Gaeltachta and didn't worry about the country. That's changed since, largely as a result of what we did, I suppose. There was no TG Cahir, and it didn't look like it was going to come. So we got together and we said that if there's provision there in the Act for an independent radio service, then we would like one to be for Irish speakers in the Greater Dublin area. And so we set about organising and lobbying the government, or the what was then the Independent Radio and Television Commission, to get a licence. And we got a licence in 1993 for Radio Na Liffey, which is a very successful, very modern, youth-driven station. And apart from the fact that it's still going strong, which gives me a great thrill every time I drive to Dublin and get, you know, comes in on the frequency, I'm very gratified by that. It's made a huge difference to the confidence of Irish speakers in Dublin, and it went a long way towards helping TG Cahir come on air, not just because it supplied many of the early broadcasters, and still does, where people get their training and cut their teeth for nothing on the air, but also because it I think helped persuade people that Irish was a language, or is a language, of communication rather than just something that you learn in school. And we were certainly stunned and amazed raised in 1994, we did some research on who our listeners were. And we had said to the commission when we were applying for a licence that we thought there were a lot of Irish speakers. And we found that there were 16,000 listeners, which was a huge number when we thought at that time that we as Irish speakers knew every other Irish speaker in the city. And what was amazing then and still is amazing from talking to the management in the station is that people come in every week looking to participate and go on air, and they're people who nobody else has ever heard of. So they aren't necessarily always those whose parents were from the Gaeltacht or whose who had gone to a Gael school themselves. So there is a lot more, I suppose, latent interest out there in terms of listeners, and there's certainly a lot more positive and fluent levels of Irish speakers in the community than perhaps we realise. Community media, I'm particularly interested in community radio, but it doesn't really matter which medium you use. Community media differs from commercial media or from public service broadcasting because of the participation of people in it. It's owned by the people it serves, by the community it broadcasts to. So the listener can become the broadcaster. I love the phrase from Tony Douglas, freedom of the press is owning one. So getting access to the medium, if you're going on air in RTE for a spot, that's great. You reach potentially the entire island, but if you're if you own the station, as community radio stations are owned by their communities, then you can walk in and you can make your programme and you can be heard on a weekly basis. You can make a difference to your community. So community radio and community development are quite closely related, and community development work practices means that it takes longer to achieve something, but you achieve it on a more permanent and meaningful way because you've involved everybody in the decision-making process. In fact, even before the decision-making process, community development works to draw people together to identify what they see as their problems and then collectively to address them. And radio, community radio in this case, is only one tool that can be used to do that. What excited me most, I suppose, about coming to Limerick and working, apart from my working life, was the opportunity to set up a student radio station, which at that time was a partnership between the three institutions here in Limerick. And my hope, far wired as it became, and still remains the same, was that it would bring the students of Limerick closer together. I was struck very forcibly on arrival in Limerick that Limerick is a really young town, more so than even a city, and that there was and still is a higher percentage of students per population in Limerick than in any other town or city in Ireland, higher than Galway, which we seem to think of as being, you know, the buzzy, trendy place to go. And Limerick has the potential to be that place and to be a much more exciting and innovative place. It has the Art College, LIT, UL, and ourselves here at Mary Immaculate College. And if those four groups of students would join up, they could be a force, an economic force, to look for reductions into clubs, etc. But more importantly, they could be a social force to change the atmosphere in Limerick and to create, to be a much more creative, fun, enjoyable place to be. And I think that Wired, in its own way, has contributed to that. There is no other organisation or forum where the students of all four colleges can get together. And Wired has been on air now since 1995, and I think it's really has made a difference. It might be hard to measure it, but there's a sense there that it belongs to the students. And it would be my hope that the University of Limerick would come back on board soon, and that those students would get the opportunity not just to listen but also to participate and make their own programmes. And in doing that, in the making of programmes, people meet each other face to face, so they connect more, but also they can promote their activities and, as I say, make a difference in that way. I suppose one of my favourite moments would be the launch of Wired itself, actually getting to hear it on air. And there's a photograph outside in the lobby here of the people who were involved. And it's funny to look back on those days and you see something so fragile that just came out of your head and now actually is in existence, and nearly 15 years later is going from strength to strength. That's a wonderful feeling that lasts. And that was a great moment. Well, maybe it doesn't remind me, except that it came out at the time, but it's one that I often sing in my head when times are going tough, and it's don't worry, be happy. I think that, you know, you can be worried, and worry helps you to work harder, certainly, but in the meantime, while you're stressed and worried, you need to take the time to breathe and try to be happy as you're going along.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it.
This program was produced by Wired FM and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland's Sound and Vision Funding Scheme. Wired FM would like to thank everybody involved in making the series.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.